Hello, hello again, and welcome. I am Sister Ikua, fresh, back, relaxed from a week's vacation in, of all places, Jamaica. Jamaica man, Irie. Anyway, we were gone for about a week, so thank you to Evie, Sister Evie Richardson, the Empress of the Airways. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, and my particular show is called I Was Just Thinking. We're on every Friday evening from 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm thinking about 8 or 9 down in the Caribbean. So Evie helped me out last week. She did a rerun. We had a rerun, or like they say, the golden oldies of I Was Just Thinking About Wisdom and Truth. And we got, you know, a few people listening. I'm just thankful for all those 100 people that are out there, and all those ones on the archives that are pulling it up on CRS Radio and also on iTunes and Facebook and all of that stuff. I'm just so thankful that you guys are listening, and we want our audience to grow. So stick a hand to a friend. That's what I have to say. Tell a friend. Each one teach one, as they say. So anyway, tonight, as always, is a call-in show. You can call me at 661-467-2407 and press 1. Again, that is 661-467-2407 and press 1. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and my particular show is I Was Just Thinking. And tonight I'm going to be talking about grace. But before I get into grace, which the Bible says is God's unmerited favor, I just got to talk a little bit about my little vacation. Not too much, because, you know, I don't want folks to get mad out there. But I did have a good time, even though I have come to realize that mosquitoes love me. I got bit a couple of times, more than a couple of times, but that's just the way it goes, because, you know, when you're sweet, like my husband say, when you're sweet, and hopefully I'm sweet, but we had a chance to be out in the ocean and relax and look at each other again with loving eyes. Not that we don't always love each other, but sometimes you just need to take out that time to remember why in the heck you got married. And why didn't you with this person? Had a wonderful time in the Caribbean. I met some wonderful people, and it is a beautiful island. But what I found was that more international and historical education needs to be disseminated in the Caribbean, particularly in Jamaica. And more discernment when it comes to what comes over the airways, like the television and the radio in Jamaica. And just a resurgence and a remembrance of the rich culture, that historical culture that we have in Jamaica, in particular, all the islands, particularly in Jamaica. But there's not too much teaching about the great Marcus Garvey. There's not too much radios or radio shows playing Bob Marley, which I was just surprised. The new generation, the young generation, need to know about the struggle. They need to know. Now, his picture is everywhere, different places. His image is different places. But the music itself, it's not being disseminated as much as it should. And that is the wealth of Jamaica. You know, Marcus Garvey and Bob Marley and Paul Bogle, that's the wealth of Jamaica. And there's so many, the new generations don't even hardly recognize those names. And that's what I was just so surprised about. But anyway, we watch television there, and it's really, really, as go America, so goes Jamaica. And that's unfortunate, because you can't follow everybody. You just can't follow everybody. The inundation of Western culture seems to be eating away at Jamaican traditions, like the respect of women and elders and one another. And although I had a good time, I was distressed, really, sometimes when I saw the bawdiness of some of the women and men in the pursuit of tourism. We cannot, as people, let tourism make us what we are not. We are kings and we are queens. We are empresses and we are emperors. They didn't just come to the motherland. They didn't just come to the continent and just grab people just to enslave them. They needed those that had could form a nation, because we were nation builders. And Jamaica was a way station. A lot of the Caribbean islands, but particularly Jamaica, was the place where they broke the most rebellious. And unfortunately, they could not break the most rebellious, because we had such a sense of ourselves in that small and that medium-sized island. And there's still, I found that we didn't get a chance to go there, but there's an enclave there called the Maroons. And they have their own law, their own rules, their own government. And they were the ones that, you know, the white man just couldn't break. So we have to get back to who we are. That's what I saw, that we need to recapture. Same way in the United States, we need to recapture ourselves. And let us not run away with, like they said, the things of the heathen. Let us not be the Gentiles, okay, because we're not. We are the people of God, and that's what is true. I can give you some history on who the Jamaicans are and what their background really is, coming from just Africa. But we'll do that at another time. But what I want to say is we can't let the ways of the West make us a joke any longer, or bring in a new kind of slavery, a new kind of slavery to tourism, a new kind of slavery. Just like when we were watching the Grammys, and that's the last time I'm going to watch, folks. When Beyonce was out there and her husband was out there, it was just complete and utter objectification of the black woman. And he just allowed that. He allowed the mother of his child to just be objectified and made into really a hoe in front of the whole audience of the world. The only thing that she did not do is have a dildo. I'm sorry, but that shouldn't go on the air. But you can't. You have to get to a point, especially as a woman, you have to respect yourself as a mother. And he just stood out there and just let his wife do it. Now, there are certain things that you can do in the privacy of your own home and cool. But when you open up your bedroom door to the whole world, then I'm sorry for you. It was a sad situation, but that's what I saw. Not only just the objectification of women in Jamaica, but also the objectification of women in America, black, particularly black women. Not only do they objectify women in today's society, but also they make, and I'm talking about black women, they make black men pimps. And that's what Jay-Z looked like. He looked like he was standing up there pimping his wife to the world. Now, a lot of people may disagree with me, but that's what I saw. The second thing that happened on our trip, and like I said, I loved every moment in the Caribbean, and I'm planning to go back soon. But the second thing that happened was when we returned to the USA and the changes that we had to go through to get back in this country, the country of my birth. We endured several checks, including a disguised, and I'll say disguised, retina scan. We were taken aside after that because we had to give our passport. They said, okay, you have to take a picture at these little kiosks, but you can only take the picture if you were staring straight at the camera. You couldn't look off to the side one way or another. So I know that was just a disguised retina scan. Anyway, we were taken aside because both of our little pictures had an X mark on it. I'm saying, why we got an X and everybody else is going through? And the reason that they gave was this. They said, because our last names was a common combination of names that they were looking for. I said, Now, I just had got, I'd finished talking to this white lady that was standing in front of us, and she was talking about the NSA, and usually I'd just go, because you never know who you're talking about, even though I'm talking to the whole world at this point over the radio, over the internet. But she said, oh, you know, they're watching this and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, And then, and then for us to be taken aside, I said, wow, this is just for extra questioning because we had a common name. And I don't consider my name common. There's not too many people except for Jomo Kenyatta that got my name. Okay? But anyway, I said to my husband, well, it's on. It is on now. It is on, people. It's not so much. It's just like my friend was talking about the movie Fortress. And it wasn't so much that you couldn't get, people couldn't come in. You couldn't get out. They're having like a fortress mentality around the United States. And it was just sad to me. It was just really sad. So it's easy to get out of the U.S., but it's hard as hell or heck to get back in. So like all sheeple, like all the sheeple, we submitted to the scan disguised as a camera so we can get back to our life. It was just so easy. I just did it. They said, okay, everybody, go over here. And we all went over here. Everybody, go to the kiosk. We all went to the kiosk. Okay, everybody, shove your passport in. We all shoved it in. And passport had all the information. I didn't look that much different, right? And they said, okay, everybody, bend down, look into the camera. Click! And then I asked the man afterward, after he took us to the side, I said, well, where is that paper going? Because he just sat it to the side. It was just only my husband and myself. He sat it to the side. I said, where is that paper going? He said, oh, no, we keep those. I said, you keep them? Well, what was the point? You have me live, and I have my passport. What was the point of you taking a picture of me and my passport when a picture is already on my passport? He just looked at me. And I said, well, let me not say too much because they won't let me get back to my babies. They will. But see, that's how it goes. See, it's on because you want a certain thing. You want to come back home. And they're making it difficult for you to come back home. And not only that, you're going to get into the system when you come back home. It's already set up. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. So as we flew over the nation, I asked myself, how will it be in 5 or 10 years? In the airport, they had posters of what it was, HSBC or HBSC. I think it's like a global whatever it is. I should look it up on the internet. But one of the pictures that they had, when you go to your plane, they had photos on each side going to the plane, and one was of an index finger with a Scantron chip on the fingerprint, and they were saying they were, and I couldn't get the blurb underneath it, but it was like, you know how you do your fingerprint, but in the center of it, it was Scantron. That's what's going to happen to us. It's not going to be just an eye, take your picture, grin. You're going to have to press your finger into something, and who knows, they might just prick your finger and get a little DNA so you can't come back in to your home country. Now, I looked at the book of Revelations, and I read it through in my days as a minister's wife. Yes, I was a minister's wife. And whether the book of Revelation is true by the edict of man or by the revelation of God, that system about the mark of the beast is being implemented. Now, a lot of people may say, oh, well, you know, that's just a bunch of bullcorn and all the rest of that stuff. It may be, but it's a lot of people that believe it. So either man is going to implement this thing to make it be true, or back in the day, whenever it was a true prophecy that they just added to this particular book. However way you look at it, it's coming to pass. So we have to be aware of it, right? It will come a time when you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark or imprint of this so-called beast. And we're going to get into what the beast is. Now, we're still going to talk about grace. That's my main topic. But I just could not go by. I have a call. I'm going to take it right quick. I'm hoping these people aren't tripping or they're just listening. But I'm going to take this call right quick because they've been holding on for a few minutes. 954, I'm coming to you. Yes, you there?
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, honey. I'm here chilling out, listening to some good speech you're making,
oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to hold it the same way, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about the message that you're sending out, you know?
Yeah.
Can't do nothing more. You know?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm gonna put you on hold and keep on listening then. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. look, it took me. I can listen to patois because that's what it is. It's the English eyes, beautiful language of those in Jamaica. I'll get four words out of it, but I'm telling you, I was getting into the rhythm after a while. You know, my husband was saying, what did he say? I said, you just have to hear. You got to listen because you learn more from listening than you do from talking. But they have a beautiful sense of and cadence to the language in which they speak. So we're going to get back to this whole thing that I had to go through to get back into the United States and relating that quickly and briefly to the book of Revelation. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, in looking at the book of Revelation, it talked about the mark of the beast. And we're going to talk about the mark and we're going to talk about the beast briefly. Eventually, what I'm going to do is hopefully get my husband on a few more people and we're going to talk about what that whole situation means and how it is being implemented. Like I said, whether you believe in it biblically and say, okay, that's the word of God, or you don't believe it and you say, oh, this is just the writings of men, whatever it is, that is what they're implementing anyway. So you need to know. They're going to put it out there anyway, okay? Because they know this is, people believe, and those that don't believe, they got something for you too. It's just like in 1984, they had something for those who believe Big Brother and those that believed in Goldstein. Read it and you'll find out. But anyway, let's get back to what a mark is. I looked in the concordance and I was looking up some Greek words, and the Greek word for mark is actually an imprint, like lettering or numbering with a stylus. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean a stylus on paper. So it's lettering or numbering like a stylus of some sort if used, or it could even be, if you want to put it in modern day terms, it could be a laser. It could be a tattoo. It could be, but whatever it is, it's an instrument for printing. Now, I just thought about this. We have a rash of people getting their body so-called body art and tattoos and all that kind of stuff. And if you look in, if you, you know, want to look in the biblical reference for that, You know, you can look in Leviticus and say, don't mark your skin for the dead. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And people say, okay, well, I'm not marking it for the dead. I'm just marking it for me. Okay, that's fine. That's not, neither here nor there. But why is there so many people getting that done? Is it trying to kind of like get ready for what? Is it easy then when you mark your skin to then get the chip under your flesh? Because they're chipping everybody. They're chipping everything. They have, and when I say they, it's the greater they, so don't, you know, trip out about me saying they. Everybody know who they is. Then you may not know who they is, like address and phone number, but you know what the bigger they is, the ones that control and implement the things that we're going through in this earth, okay? So if you get a dog from the shelter or a cat from the shelter or a gerbil from the shelter, it's going to have a chip in it, okay? They're talking about, because there's such a rash of Alzheimer's disease, that they want to start chipping old folks, put a chip, a microchip, a Scantron chip, so they won't get lost. Sounds convenient, huh? You don't want grandma to be walking down an alley somewhere. You want to be able to go to your smartphone if your mother has wandered out of the house and go, boop, 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 there she is. She's about three blocks away. Or if your kitty cat has ran out the door when you opened it, you can go, beep, boop, 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 boop. Oh, there he is up underneath the house. Convenient, huh? Chipping. Now, the next thing they're going to do, because they're always doing the fringes before they get to the core people, okay? So the fringes would be prisoners, those who are in the military, okay? You got blew up by IED. They don't know who you are, but you got a chip in it to say this part belongs to John Doe. You can bring it back home, right? It's better than a dog tag. Okay, so you got the prisoners. He's running, trying to escape. They had 200 prisoners escape from the Philippines the other day. So you got a bunch of prisoners on the loose. They got a chip in them. Boop, doop, 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 doop. There they are. So they're bringing it. They're doing the friends, those people that we don't even talk about. Oh, we don't want our parents to be lost. Or who cares about a prisoner? It's a million plus people in prison. More than that, worldwide, it's a million plus in the United States. Huh? There's how many people there are there in the service? Just like they at the State of the Union address that they had the other day, they had this young man that was in the service, and he had had 10 tours of duty. 10. That's too much for a Superman. 10 tours of duty. On the last one, he got blown bits almost by IED. I almost cried. 10 tours of duty. And why are they doing all these tours of duty? Because there are no jobs here. That has become the way when people graduate from high school, that is their employment. You see, either that or you're going to go into service, service work. In Jamaica, that's what people get out of high school. If they don't go to college, they got to go in service work and tourism work. There's no jobs. So anyway, we're talking about the mark. So like I said, they'll edge around and get all of these people that nobody is thinking about, or it's for convenience sake. The next thing they want to do, and they sent a thing to our house too, saying, okay, well, we want to give this not a chip for your nephew up underneath his skin, but we want to give him this little card just in case it gets lost. And it has like a little locator in it. We can GPS him. GPS his backpack. Now they have clothes where you can put on your child or put on your elder or put on yourself where they can always find out where you are. Yes. So what is the mark? The mark is an imprint, like lettering or numbering, a stylus of some sort. It could be a laser instrument for printing. When they use the word, and this is, remember, when they were writing this, this was thousands and thousands of years ago, okay? And there was no laser, there was no stylus, there was no, all of these things that we have now did not exist with them back then. So they were speaking of something, if it was prophetic now, if it was prophetic, a prophecy, something that you see afar off, you see in a dream or a vision, they were trying to explain something they didn't have words for. It's just like if we saw something 1,000 years from now, it would be so advanced. We could only say it is as like this or that we know that we see today, right? The mark, like I said, is an imprint. When they use the word beast, that gives a false impression because you think of an animal, right? But it is actually the animalness of mankind or a man. The animalness, that dog-eat-dog, that corporate idea, that systematic idea, that union of those, like it said in that movie with Gordon Gekko, Wall Street, greed is good. No, it ain't. Greed ain't good. But see, that's that animalness. So when they use the word in Revelations talking about a beast, they are not talking about a specific animal, but animal-like tendencies in that man or that group, those groups of men, because it is a hunting-like thing. They are going after prey, hunting for something, a preparation for the destruction of mankind, herding us like lambs to the slaughter. And that's what I felt like when I was going through all of those changes to get back to my home. Herding us around like lambs to the slaughter. They had a line, go this way, okay, and then they cut off the line. No, you go this way, you go that way. So this mark will be our destruction. Like I said, whether it is some man 2,000 years ago that was just writing because he had too much to drink, or he took some kind of drug and saw this vision, or if it was God-given, it makes no difference. Because it is going to be implemented. Even if it's a lie, it's going to be implemented. You get it? So, this mark will be our destruction. Now, it is said that back then, that beast referred to Antiochus Epiphanes, who used a pig to sacrifice in the Hebrew temple, as a model, and he was a model of the son of perdition, supposedly predicted in the book of Daniel. Prophecy, if it is true, can cover all ages, many miles, and every year until it is accurately fulfilled. This mark on mankind will bring about a worship, as it says in the Greek, and allow us or make us bow down and kiss the hand of those as if we were dogs licking the hand of a master. When this image of whatever it is put before us. You can see that now. Look, they had the whole time we were there, all they talked about was Justin Bieber. And all those girls just crying and slobbing all over him. All they talked about was Beyonce. And people will fall out if Beyonce walked down the street. We're already getting primed for idol worship, for falling down and kissing the hands and licking the feet and licking them like we're dogs. So what do we have to wait for? When food gets short, we'll do anything. Like I said, I was hurting, and I know better. I was herded it around when they said, line up and take this picture. I was like, click, click. Suppose your baby need milk. And that's the only way. It's coming to a town near you. Now, this mark on mankind will bring about, as they say, a worship. We will kiss the hands of them as if we were dogs licking the hands of a master to the image that they put before us. Now, as I said earlier, this revelation can be man-made or God-inspired, but whichever one it is coming into being through modern technology. In 1 year, we will, for convenience sake, because they always say it's for convenience, you don't want your mother with Alzheimer's to wander away, convenient. You don't want your child to be kidnapped, convenient. You don't want prisoners to be roaming around your city. Convenient. All of it is going to be for convenience sake. Go back and listen to the thing that I did about convenience. You know, technology for convenience. Convince us to do things that we wouldn't necessarily do. So for convenience sakes, here's the mark. Here's the imprint. Here's the chip for our protection. And it will be the beginning, because it's already the beginning. It's already on. But it will be the beginning of our true servitude. I'm talking about worldwide servitude. To the beast. To that beast. That thing, whether it's a corporation or a system or a globalization or whatever it is, that beast-like thing that's going to eat us alive, that is going to be hunting for us. They already hunt and data mine, trying to find out what we're doing. Why? I was in line, and this woman said, well, all my friends say, and she looked like she was in her 70s. She said, all my friends say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, it doesn't matter. But see, we don't know what they consider wrong. In a minute, what I'm telling you is going to be wrong. We don't know what's going to be wrong. They're trying to pass a law. I was telling this guy this in Jamaica. They're trying to pass a law that if your pants are sagging, you can get a ticket. After about 3 tickets, you go to jail. How are you going to go to jail for a fashion offense and have that on your record? Now, believe me, I don't like no sagging, bagging, nothing. I hate it. But really? A ticket? Really? Jail time? Can't we do something else? Can't we go to the fashion designers and Jay-Z and all the rest of them and say, okay, we need to do this so we can stop all the sagging so our young men won't go to jail behind a fashion, even though it's a sad fashion, but jail? Really? Is this where we're headed? Everything that we do, we don't know what is right, and we don't know what is wrong. We won't know. So, what I see is this. Inside this whole eternal story of mankind, it is all about us coming to Earth. And Earth is either Hell, Gehenna, Amenta, Golgotha, or Egypt. Not understanding who we are. We are blind sons and daughters of God, the gods of this earth, who have been sent on a quest to find either the golden sheep, the golden fleece, the keys to the kingdom, the white whale, the golden chalice, the fountain of youth, all those things that we've always heard about that different people go and find. We meet our dragons, our adversaries, our obstacles, our one-eyed monsters, and we're just seduced and stopped in our tracks by sirens and beautiful centaurs. We are waylaid for a while until, through a friend or a whisper from a god or a goddess or an illness or a tragedy, we are put back on the path of our quest until we reach that pot of gold or a revelation or home, or we return from Oz, or we get that last touchdown in the Super Bowl. Only then can we join the heavenlies and return to our nativity, understanding who we are as sons and daughters of God. We have to learn from the sojourn in the flesh. Families go through this. Same thing as do cities, communities, peoples, and nations. The world goes through this. They go through the same thing ages and ages after ages and eons until we all come into the hidden knowledge of who we are and what all this is for. But let us not be waylaid. Let us not be waylaid by this new technology. Let us not be sheeple. Let us not just go for anything. Let us keep our dignity. We're here for a reason. Remember, we're the sons and daughters of God. We don't have to show our behind or show our breasts or shake it in front of everybody. We don't have to do that. We're empresses and queens and princes and kings. First, we have to remember who we are. So I'm going to take a break, play a little music. We're going to get back to the topic of grace, but I had to just say that about my vacation. Like I said, I enjoyed myself, but I learned so much, stuff that I didn't even want to learn, but I learned it. And We're going to intertwine it with our understanding of who we are on this rock we call Earth. I'm going to play a little music, and we're going to be back. Please stick with me.
Sometimes it's dear. The incomplete, no end of feet, keeping on from year to year. It takes some doing. Monkeries the blues, you hear. Life is a school, lest you're a fool, but the learning brings you pain. Knowing at once you're just a dumb, trial and error, loss and gain. Some doing, monkeries a slow train, trial and error, loss. Thank you.
Yeah, it was Abby Lincoln, Blue Monk. I'm back. This is I Was Just Thinking on the Caribbean Radio Show. I am Sister Ikua. And you can hit me up at 661-467-2407 and press 1. Or you can go to my website, www.essaysbyikua, that's K-O-W-A, .com, and you can write me there. I got it hooked up to my email, so please get in contact with me if you want to converse. Nothing crazy. No white supremacists, please. And it's a conversation. I'm doing a walk. I'm not an expert. Some people want me to answer the questions of the ages, and I can't do it because I'm learning just like everyone else. But I'm out here because I believe the Creator gave me an opportunity to be out here and say what I got to say. So, like I said, I'm fresh back from a vacation, and I'm raring to go. I am raring to go. This is I Was Just Thinking on the Caribbean Radio Show, The Knowledge Station, brought to you every Friday evening at 6 p.m. On the West Coast, 8 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. And I'm thankful that you tuned in last week to my repeat show on Wisdom and Truth. I got a lot of hits on that, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope you got a lot out of it because it was pretty good. Sometimes I'll listen to my shows afterward and I'll say, who was that? Was that me? But I know it's the ancestors. I know it is my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. I know it's all those people that are known and unknown that's related to me by blood and spirit that is just bringing this all together. And I'm thankful of that and all that good stuff. And I want to also thank Dr. Evie Richardson, the Empress of the Airways, for giving me this opportunity to speak my mind, the things that are on my mind. I'm so relaxed right now after I got back from the islands. It was just so absolutely beautiful. And even when it rained, it only rained for a minute. But we were in the ocean every day, just swimming around and floating around because, you know, like I always tell my husband, fat floats. So adipose tissue is going to be buoyant, I should say. But it's all good. The motion of the ocean, it's all good. Anyway, this week we're going to talk about a little bit about grace and its importance to us for us to understand what those concepts are and why it's important to our lives. We always talk about things biblically and what that means. Evie is telling me the sound is good today. I thank you. because I bought this big microphone. I haven't hooked it up yet, but it looked like a missile. It's called a Yeti. So I'm going to have that next week so I can try to get a little bit more professional sound. I might even try to sing for y'all. No, not really. But we're talking about grace and as defined the biblical version of grace. As defined religiously, okay? And that's usually where we get all our words, grace and mercy and all that kind of stuff. It's always, all of it has a religious import. Nothing grew out of a vacuum, and most of the stuff grew out of a religious space because eons ago, it was all about our relationship to our Creator. Now, it's morphed. You say, that's the best one, you're moving on up. No, well, gosh, okay. Every words of the words that we speak in English and going back to our native tongues, they all have a religious or spiritual base to it. So we got to go and check it out and see, why are we talking? What are we talking about? What are the words that we use? What do they mean? So grace is defined religiously as God's unmerited favor. In the biblical version, in the biblical, from the biblical stance. So I was listening to a good basic preacher, a minister the other day, and he quoted this verse, and it says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I remember from, like I said, being a minister's wife, that I would always hear that. Where sin abounds, grace must more abound. So I was thinking, I didn't hear this. What does this really, really mean? Now, you know me. Like I said, this show's called I Was Just Thinking. And I was thinking about what does that really mean? So I started digging around a little bit. So I'm going to use the Bible. All those that just can't deal with it, then I'm sorry. But this Western world hinges on a Judeo-Christian and some Islamic ethic. So we're going to speak of that, because whether you're working, whether you're not working, whether laws are passed or whatever, that's going to be the basis and the foundation for everything. So the Judeo-Christian ethic. So we're going to try to deal with how things are looked at in this particular Western world, okay? So we're going to go to Romans 5:19. It says, "For as though the one man's disobedience," the one man, they're talking about Adam or and the people of Adam or whatever it is, and that disobedience means the mishearing or the misunderstanding, "the many were made sinners." So from one man's disobedience, that initial disobedience or that initial misunderstanding in mankind, misunderstanding of what? Who we are, why we're here, what our mission is, why we were placed in this earth incubator. So from that one man's disobedience, that mishearing, and many were made sinners. And we talked about what sin was. Sin was not understanding your direction from God. Okay? So even so, the obedience of the one, and they're, in this sense, they're talking about the Messiah, the Christ, the many will be made righteous. When one person, that righteous person, hears, then many will be made righteous. In the 20th verse it says, "The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased," because the law increased, transgressions increased, sin increased, or misunderstanding, mishearing, being misdirected, because sin increased, grace abounded all the more. See, all we hear is about, well, sin increased, but grace abounded all the more. And we're going to find out what that grace is. In 21 it says, "So that as sin reigned in death," or brought in death, "even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Okay? Or actually says Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah. And Yeshua, as we know, means salvation of the Messiah, the Mesu, the one that is anointed. Okay? Don't just read stuff in English. Get you a dictionary and get you a concordance and get you a Hebrew book and get you a Greek book so you can try to figure out what these things mean. Okay? For sin abounds, grace much more. So let me just break it down from the book of Akua, what this Romans 5:19 said to me. Okay? Because the word says we're living epistles read unto men. So let me read my epistle to you. It says, "Just as through one man, careless, dismissive hearing, where no heed was paid, many people did not stand up or were not set up or established in this earth, and they missed the primary mark. So in the reverse manner, because of the hearkening of those, or the listening and being able to understand, a door was opened. A door was opened so many of mankind could stand in front of that door and establish and give evidence to the thing that was behind the door." Now, I got all this by breaking down each one of these words in Greek. And when you put them all together again, using all the verbs and the tenses and all of this kind of stuff, and the subject and the object, that's basically what you get. Initially, when we came here, however way we came here, because I know this one brother always say, "Well, how did we get here? How did we get here?" I don't know. All I know, we got here. Now, I could go deep and tell you what I really think, but I'm not. But when we hear carelessly and dismissively, when we came here, we did not uphold and hold to what we were told by our Creator, and we dismissed it because we got on this earth and it was so full of this and so full of that, and we were in the flesh and the flesh felt good and we could do this and we can do that, and we didn't pay any heed, and we didn't stand up, and we didn't set up and establish this earth the way it was supposed to be set up and established. We missed the mark. So in the same way, if we heed, hearken, and understand, not only will we establish ourselves in this earth and establish this earth, we can open up a doorway between heaven and earth so all mankind could stand up and give evidence and give honor to the thing in which created us. That's the point. That's why we're here. We're not here to be slaved and enslaved. We're not here to just go and do and lick the hands like and lick the feet of somebody like we're dogs. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not who we are. The idea of hearing in Hebrew is the word Shema. S-H-E-M-A, Shema. Because they have a prayer. It says, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. He is one God. Or it is one God. It is one. Shema. That's the Hebrew word for hearing. But it is more than just letting words waft across your ears. It is more than just listening. It is like a conversation where you hear and you internally respond, where your liver quivers, where your heart understands and is healed. This type of hearing is to hear with the heart, the seat of the soul, and with the belly of your understanding. Hearing in this type of Shema, this type of hearing, is without your ego getting in the way. As in the scene, because everything is everything, as in the scene in the judgment hall of Ma'at, when your heart is weighed against a feather, to see if your heart is too heavy, it's heavier than the feather. And if it is too heavy, then right there is the animal that's going to devour your heart. It's not in actuality. It's trying to show you, get your ego out the way. Hearing without an ego is like the weighing of the heart and the heart in the hall of judgment in the Egyptian funerary scenes, where the deceased is judged, not judged to fail, but if you don't make it, you got to back around again. So Ma'at is there, and Anpu is waiting to devour the works of the ego that is represented by that heart on that scale. And with the weighing of the heart, if the heart is heavier than that feather, the soul has to go to hell. And hell, we've talked about before, where is hell? It is earth. So they're talking about going back around again and learning again. A lot of people don't remember this because they don't do this anymore. You know, they used to hold you back in school. And my brother, God bless him, it wasn't because he wasn't smart. It was just that he couldn't get it, and my mother said, no, hold him back. So they held him back into another grade. It was hard. But sometimes you need to hold people back. You need to hold people back until they get it. Until they understand. But see, they want you to just matriculate on up. And if you got an F, you can F your way out of school. In the United States, you can D your way out of school. They keep on pushing you on and pushing you on and pushing you on. There's no obligation for the teacher to continue to teach you. Say, no, you didn't get this. You need to stay in the second grade. You didn't get this. You need to stay. No, that's too traumatizing for the child. We need to go on and let him on. But baby, Johnny can't write. And Johnny can't read. They were talking about the other day about, what was this university? I don't want to call its name because I might call the wrong one. But they found out that most of those ball players, football, basketball, whatever it was, they couldn't read or write because they were giving them class like basket weaving. So when you see some, not all of them, that's when you see a lot of them coming up, and they can't even put a sentence, a cohesive sentence together after they graduated from a university. It's because they were just there for their brawn, not their brain. They passed them on through. But see, here in this shema, this hearing, if you don't hear, and in this weighing of the heart in ma'at, if you don't get it, and your ego is too big and you haven't learned what you have to learn, baby, you got to repeat a class. And the class is earth. This is our teaching center. Our spirit comes into flesh. And we got to tame this flesh. And we got to walk around and open the door and open the door of understanding in people's minds so we can all come together and open the door to where we're supposed to go as humanity. As humanity on this earth. If not, we got to go back to hell. And earth is hell. It is Amenta. It is Egypt. It is Golgotha. It is Gehenna. That's what they're talking about. The place of the burning flesh. That's what you read. But you think somewhere deep within the crevices of the earth. There's a core within the crevice of the earth that is burning. But that's not hell. Could this door that is opened by understanding through grace be for the one who recognizes it as the opening to the straight gate and to the narrow path? When we sin, we miss that door opening, that door of understanding opening. What other ancient writing talks about an open door? Because it's not just Christianity. It's not just which came from Judaism, which came from the Egyptian religion. If you trace your steps back, baby, that's where you're going to be. And then you got to go back further than that to the Ma'a civilization, according to Clyde Winter. So let's look at the other people in the earth that, other people talk about an open door. In the writings of Zarathustra, the Proto-Iranians, anytime they say Proto, remember they say, you say Proto, I say Black. Proto, Black, Proto, Black. Anything is Proto or Pre, it's going to be Black, folks. You can look at a book from this really good writer, Hermel Himmelstein, called Black Sumer, Sumer. In the writings of Zarathustra, the initiate candidate's garments we believe to possess sacred properties. Just as a soul can have no covering without wisdom and virtue, the candidates were unclothed as yet without true knowledge presented in the mysteries. So they came up there naked. They was unclothed. They were blind. They were without grace. They were out without a covering. They were out without the things that they needed in order for them to understand. They could not understand. They couldn't listen. Now, this is the Iranians, the Iranian books. So in those mysteries, they were given an animal skin to cover themselves, and later a consecrated robe to symbolize the philosophical teachings. Now, when you're given an animal skin to cover yourself, just like in Adam and Eve when they sinned against the Lord, according to the biblical tradition, and then he killed the animal, gave them animal skins, that's a representation of divinity coming into flesh, because they look at flesh as animal. And they looked at our skin as animal because it was untamed. It was a beast. A beast without a spirit. And when our spirits came into our flesh, when we were knitted in our mother's wombs, that flesh was considered in the ancient days animal. So they're just recreating this when they go through the mysteries, when they go through the initiations. So they were given an animal sense, and later, after they learned something, they gave a consecrated robe to symbolize the philosophical teachings. The candidate, during the course of the initiation, passed through two gates, and that was what I wanted to get to, the doors or the gates. And the first led downward into the lower world, which symbolizes birth into ignorance. The second led upward into a room lit by unseen lamps in which the statue of Ceres was symbolized as the upper world or heaven, or the abode of light and truth. And the caves had two doors symbolizing the avenues of birth and of death. This was from a book, it's a Masonic book by Manly P. Hall. Every culture has the same thing, and what they're trying to get us to understand, and we're still talking about grace, what they're trying to get us to understand is how we got here, what we do when we get here. I was telling my nephew the same thing. He likes those little Yu-Gi-Oh! And anime and all that kind of stuff. But it's the same type of thing. They have a young man. He doesn't know who he is. He has to go through all these changes to find out who he is. Either he's blinded or he's put off on a path in the wilderness. And then pretty soon he finds the keys to whatever it is. And he has to go back and he realizes who he is. And he takes his place with his father or mother in the heavenlies or at the dinner table or as a king. They have the same thing with Harry Potter. It's a tale told over and over and over again throughout the ages because that tale is within us. It's always trying to get out and express itself to make us understand who we are. So the gates of Amenta, I only have 29 minutes. The gates of hell or Amenta, I'm going to read this right quick. We have previously brought evidence to substantiate the fact that the netherworld is our earth itself. This idea flies directly in the face of tons of scholarship that have lost the true meaning of the word death and Amenta. A corrected understanding of all theologies hinges upon the proper understanding of these two words. We have already seen in many instances of the soul and its association with Amenta or the underworld. And Amenta is just earth, okay? Understood that the final meaning of the whole structure of theology is bound up with the correct location of the realm of this gloomy shade. It is believed by many who do these studies that the correction of the error of gross misunderstanding of the original meaning of the word death and Amenta, under which the academic world has labored for centuries, will necessitate the most sweeping alterations in religious and philosophical ideology, I know this sounds a bit, just y'all can get to it now, and lead the total reinterpretation of what we think of as death, of almost all religious meaning values that exist primarily in Christianity today. Amenta, the Egyptian term for the underworld, is given a compound of the Egyptian amen, which means secret or hidden, and Ta, which is earth. We put this together and we see that it is the hidden earth or the secret hidden land. And this came from a friend of mine that has a wonderful website. His name is Craig Lyons. And you can look at his website at theancientsacredmysteries.com. He did a lot of teaching on astrotheology and understanding what all of these things meant, what death means, what life means to us, what it means when you talk about hell and grace and sin. It's different than what we have been taught. So getting back to the gates and the doors, in the Book of Gates, G-A-T-E-S, is an ancient Egyptian funerary text dating from the New Kingdom of Egypt. It narrates the passage of a newly deceased soul into the next world. Now, when they say newly deceased, you think, oh, they're dead and they're going to heaven. No. Reverse it. There were spirits coming into flesh. That's death. To the spirit, because the spirit is alive and it can go anywhere and it's eternal. To be confined in flesh is death. Get it? It narrates the passage of newly deceased soul into the new world, corresponding to the journey of the sun through the netherworld during the hours of night. The soul is required to pass through a series of gates at different stages in its journey. We're talking about grace. And we're talking about grace allows you, when you understand, to open up a doorway, to open up a gate, to open up and see where you're from in this flesh. In my flesh, I shall see God. In this flesh, I shall see God. So the door of death, which is our existence on earth in flesh, was chosen by us. And many, because of the ignorance that comes when the spirit comes into flesh, we get ignorant. We get indignant, we get blind, and we get ignorant. But we're supposed to, because we're supposed to overcome it. He that overcometh the world. So because of ignorance, because about what life is on earth, we never get an opportunity to get set up like in Romans. We never get an opportunity to be established. We never get an opportunity to open that door. Now in Luke 13:22-30 it says, "Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But strait is the gate and narrow the way which leads to what? Life. Life. And few there be that find it." Few. Now we already have gone over what sin is, but I'll reiterate. Sin is going against the edicts of God, missing the mark. To go contrary to the song or the vibrations exhibited by our Almighty Creator. Now, I got 24 minutes, so I'm going to have to hurry up. So, what could that be? What could that vibration that we're going against be? Stop your gift, stopping your destiny, polluting your vessel, not showing or receiving love and understanding from those in this world? Could it be that? Now it says, moreover, the law, established by usage or custom, crept in stealthily in order to for us to descend from a higher to a lower state. It was a law. We had to, in the heavenlies, decide to come into flesh. That was a law to learn. So we came to this lower place so we could abound and be augmented and be something different and learn from this fleshly experience. But sin came in. We missed the mark. We didn't understand. We didn't share in the Alpha or the Christ. But where that sin abounds, where it increased, grace, joy, happiness, and spiritual well-being abounded much more. It abounded to overflowing and to increase. Now we got to tap into that grace, because there's many out there, everybody that's unhappy. When I went to Jamaica, there were so many people that was unhappy, and I was talking to our driver, and he was a very religious man. He said, because they don't know what kingdom living is. They don't know how to live in the kingdom of the king. They don't know how queendom living is. And that's true. You know, it was an elementary teaching, but it was truth to it. It's true, as much truth as gravy as it is in steak. So can we say that verse we talked about in Romans is this? But the command or custom, when we came here on earth, crept in unseen in order to make us descend to earth from a higher place, because we were at a higher place as a spirit. And we were said, okay, this is like God said, our Creator said, okay, for you to learn more, you got to go down in flesh. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. Yes, you do. You got to go to, you're higher, but you got to submit yourself and go lower. It's just like Christ said, make me a body and I'll go. Nevertheless, a body has been made for me. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You look at it as just one person doing that, but we had to all do it. We went from a higher place to a lower place to learn how to abound. But unfortunately, when you get into this flesh, you get dumb and miss the mark, and you didn't follow it. We weren't following like ants. We followed. We got off the path. We didn't understand what it meant to be the Alpha or to have the Christ residing in us, to abound and to be augmented. So we needed what? God's unmerited favor, which is grace. We needed to be rebalanced. Now, I was going to take a break here, but I'm not. I'll take a break in a minute because I don't have that much time. So grace is God's favor or God's help. It is a divine pardon, as the dictionary.com says. It comes from the Sanskrit to sing praises. It is as a song of praise. Now, how does that singing in grace, or that praising, usher in the favor of our Creator? Now, you could say, okay, we're singing praises unto the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. No, you say praise the Lord. Ain't nobody praising the Lord. All you doing is saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, praise him, somebody. That means to sing. The Sanskrit word is granati, to sing praises, to proclaim or to call or to teach, in the sense that it says that the Creator praises, God's praises, and that grace is bestowed upon us. And that grace is a frequency. Just like a song is a frequency, grace is bestowed, his praises, it is what aligns the heavens and the earth. How could this happen if God is a spirit? How can God sing? How can God have a frequency? In my mind, it could be adjusting our mental, our greatest health mentally or physically. Everything is working together. It's just like in The Color Purple, which is, it's this part where I think it was Shiv was singing out there, and she was trying to sing the Hoochie Coochie song, and it just wasn't getting it, and they were in church, and her daddy was in church, and they were singing, and her daughter was singing, and she said, "Ooh, Lord, I feels like singing." It's hard to imagine God singing, but the universe sings. It is an extension of our Creator singing, and it has a musical frequency. The whole universe has a subharmonic resonance, a fundamental rhapsody. It is 1.855 times 10 to the 43rd hertz. That's what it is. They measured it. That is the intrinsic musical energy from the universe. And what it does is when we align up with it, it heals us. We find grace in it, but we have to align up with it. It's not just, oh, I'm going to do right. It's more than that. Yes, you're going to do right because that adjusts you to that frequency. Oh, I'm going to be loving. Love adjusts you to that frequency of grace. Oh, I'm going to be a better person. Yes, because it adjusts you to that frequency. Now, from this website called Sacred Frequency, I got this passage, and it says, modern science is now beginning to recognize that the ancient mystics and wise men and women have told us for centuries that everything is in a constant state of vibration. Rastaman vibration, yeah, positive. He knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. The most elemental state of vibration is that of sound. Everything has an optimum range of vibration, and that rate is called resonance. When we are in resonance, we are in balance. One way to use sound to heal the body is to recognize that every organ in our body, every cell, absorbs and emits sound, and has a particular optimum resonant frequency. Rastaman vibration, yeah, positive. It's a positive. If the Sanskrit is correct, it means grace is the equivalent to God's resonance or frequency, God's singing. How would that react on our bodily system, our psyche, or our spirits? How would that frequency retune us if we got into that grace? It is important to understand that the frequency that imparts grace or of aligns our system has to be changed or has been changed over the course of millennia. From frequencies that the universe beams out into the static to the techno-driven artificial music we hear on the radio. You wonder why you're irritated when you hear the stuff on the radio or on the television or on the internet? It's because it's against your frequency. Not only is it against your heartbeat, but it's against your frequency to heal yourself and to hear from your Creator. And I think that's purposeful. Because when you have a confused people, just like it says before, out of one, people are misguided. But when the other one comes, they are guided. We are being misguided, misdirected by everything we hear and see. So what's the frequency of mankind? The average man speaking voice, for example, is 85 hertz to 155 hertz. The woman's range is 165. Ours is a little higher. Even though I have a deep voice, mine may be a little lower, to 225 hertz. A child's voice is 250 hertz to 300 hertz. Because why? Because we have to recognize it and hear them. The human body cycle has an average of 70 hertz, and the brain has 72 hertz. This is the song in us, the frequency in which we live and are healed, and we heal ourselves. We got to understand our song, the song of our Creator. We got to learn how to listen.
Life is like a song to sing, with measured beats and phrases, with bended notes and some repeats. Music through the ages that brings the highs to lows. Well, sometimes it's for anything, bringing other songs to sing, ascending, descending. I'm learning how to listen, how to hear a melody, how to hear the song I'm singing, how to feel and let it be, and listen for the song, knowing how it goes, and listen to the melody that flows. Music is a lover with shiny golden wings that whispers in the lover's ear and dances when it sings and sends variation on an everlasting theme. It's either love or sorrow on the scene. I've learned how to listen for the songs I name and sign and claim as a possession and say that they are mine. 'Cause everybody knows that songs come from out of the blue, and I'm learning how to hear the changes too. That's
Hey, that was Miss Abby Lincoln, learning how to listen. She passed away, but her voice is still resonant, and her presence is still felt. So this is Sister Kula on I Was Just Thinking on the Caribbean Radio Show, The Knowledge Station, brought to you every Friday evening at 6 Pacific Time and 8 Eastern Time. And I got a few people in the chat room, got Dead Shepherd in the chat room. Thanks for coming back. And, yeah, I feel pretty good today. This is a good day for me. I still have to, some days I'm going to be more dogmatic than others, but it's hard to be really dogmatic after you came away from the ocean. You know, we're 70 to 75% water, and I really do believe that everybody needs to take a dip. We need to rejuvenate ourselves in the ocean or the sea or wherever it is. Or if you cannot do that, draw you a bath. Put a little salt in there and lay in there and just think. Rejuvenate yourself. Listen to some music. Listen to some music that's going to soothe you and that's going to retune you, you know. Everybody needs a retuning. The universe is singing to us. God is singing to us. And we have to learn how to listen and heed it so we can be healed. We need to be healed from a lot of the things that's going on because there is a lot going on, believe me. Everybody knows that. But like I said, I'm Sister Akua. This is I Was Just Thinking, brought to you by the Caribbean Radio Show. And while I'm at it, I just want to thank those who have helped me get this thing together. First of all, my dear husband, Dr. Keita Kenyatta, without whom I would only be half a person. And my family and friends and all those ancestors that bring me much wisdom from day to day. And all my teachers who have, for good and for not so good, taught me what is and what ain't. Because there's some teachers out there that's supposed to teach you negatively, huh? Not to harm you, but they may teach you wrong for you to understand that's not right. Just like Freud said, you learn more from your mistakes than you do from your successes. So I'm going to thank them. I'm going to thank, I was talking to my sister-in-law the other day, and she was talking to a friend, and she was saying that she would like to change her history. And I don't think I would want to change anything about my history, my past, nothing, because I learned from every bit of it. The only thing I wish I would have saved a little bit more money. But even those fools that I dated, it was an experience that I had to have. Because I learned what I wouldn't take. And it didn't kill me. So whatever does not kill you make you stronger? Well, it did. So I want to thank all of those folks. And most of all, I want to thank the people out there in the ether who are steadily building my audience and telling a friend, shake your hand, tell a friend about what they hear. Check me out on Facebook. Akua Kenyatta, K-E-N-Y-A-T-T-A, first name E-K-O-W-A, or go to my website, www.essaysbyakua.com. But I'm going to give you a little hint about next week. We're going to hopefully be talking to my friend Marcia Stewart, the author and blogger of StewartSynopsis.com. She was the one that got me my first website and told me that I had something to say. So I owe her a great deal. All these great women are my life. Marcia, my mother, of course, my aunties, my godmother, and my mothers-in-law, my sisters, and all of that. And now Evie Richardson, all these great women in my life that continues to propel me forward. But Marcia's going to be on next week, hopefully, and she'll be revealing that her cousin and ancestor, Warren G. Harding, the 29th president of the United States, was indeed a black man. So the honor of being the first known and coming out and known black president still goes to Barack Obama, but the first closeted black president was Warren G. Harding. He did not deny his blackness. He just didn't discuss it. So if you want to do some pre-reading on him, do so, and you can go to her website, stuartsynopsis.com, and it's a lot of information on there. But we're going to have her on there. She's a little shy. She can write the heck out of a thing, but she's still a little shy. But we're going to try to get Marsha on. So, and we're going to let Warren G. Harding out of the closet and put a new spin on what it means to be the black president, why he needed to pass for white in order to do so. We're also going to be discussing the recent troubles in Detroit, because that's where Ms. Stewart is from. So please stay tuned for that show. It should be good. It should be very interesting. Then the following week, I'm going to have two more guests on talking about the way of the world, technology, mind control, and all the rest of this stuff. And the week after that, a couple of weeks after that, I'm going to have another guest on talking about psychology and healing our psyches. So it should be a very interesting month. And, of course, it's Black History Month, so we're going to be talking about some black things. We're going to be talking about the inventions of black folks. And just like Det Shepherd said, you know, that his people never invented anything. Well, it may be true, but everything is everything. You know, we've always been sharing people. But I appreciate him being in the chat room and him sticking with me too. And we're gonna agree to disagree on a whole lot of things. And the other people that are there too, the ones that call in from the Caribbean, I'm thankful for that. But for this next few weeks, we're gonna be talking about a whole lot of interesting subjects. We're gonna have more voices than just me, even though I like to hear my own self talk. We're gonna have my husband and another friend on, and then we're gonna definitely have Marsha Stewart on, talking about her thing. So what I am going to do now is, we've learned how to listen, we've talked about grace, and now we're going to do something that we should have been doing a long time ago, and I'm going to leave you with this. We're going to get up for the downstroke. So see you next week. Please, please, please keep tuning in. Thank you so much. And peace and hair grease.
Get up for the downstroke. Everybody get up. Get up for the downstroke. Everybody get up. Get up for the downstroke. Everybody get up. Get up for the downstroke.
Everybody get up. Get up for the downstroke. Everybody. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.